live from the studios of KQNA, the talk of the Quad Cities.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
It's time for Talk of the Town, Soup Scoop, with Prescott Unified School District's Soup of Schools, Joe Howard, and Assistant Soup, Marty Reed. Today's Talk of the Town is sponsored in part by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott College, Elite Reflection Salon & Day Spa, Augie's Restaurant, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, A&E Reaper Graphics, Foothills Bank, Barrett Propane, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott Brewing Company. And now, here are your hosts for today's Talk of the Town Soup Scoop, Joe Howard and Marty Reed.
Hello, welcome to the Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 11:30 a.m. and 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide on KQNA.com. I'm Joe Howard here with my co-host Marty Reed. Welcome to our second call-in edition of the Soup Scoop today. As the local businesses start to reopen this month with new guidelines in place, we're so grateful to KQNA and Hometown Radio Group for making all the adjustments necessary so we can bring you the Soup Scoop from our homes again today and continue to follow our state guidelines.
And today we want to share with our community that school has been happening in PUSD since the COVID closure. Our district leaders, principals, teachers, and staff members have all worked together and created a distance learning model for every student. This week, we are celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week, also Nurse Appreciation Day today. We have such amazing teachers in our district. They are dedicated to each and every student, supporting and inspiring their students from their homes. Our PTAs, school board, parents, and students are sending surprises and messages of appreciation to our teachers, and it's been heartwarming to hear how much our Prescott teachers are appreciated. Thank you to our wonderful community.
Yes, thank you, teachers. Thank you, nurses, all of our staff, and our new temporary staff, moms, dads, aunts, uncles. You guys are doing an awesome job. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. It's May, and that means we're wrapping up our school year, although it's pretty different this time and this year. We will continue to celebrate the achievements of our students at the end of the year in traditions and creative ways, understanding that it's just not the same as in person. Today we'll be talking to instructional coaches Lisa Hosking and Shelley Reed about what summer school will look like for elementary students and the fun and learning that will continue. We will also hear from our great PHS principal Mark Goligoski about how Prescott High School is wrapping up the last weeks of school and celebrating the graduation class of 2020 in the ways that we can. Then we'll be talking to our Southwest Food Excellence Director, Siegler, about PUSD and how we're continuing to serve meals to all of our children in the community, around 1,500 a day, and we will continue this throughout the summer.
Stay tuned for our special call-in edition of Soup Scoop. You are listening to Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at kqna.com.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back to our call-in edition of the Soup Scoop. Our first call-in guests today are Shelley Reed, instructional coach at Granite Mountain School and Abaya Judd School, and Lisa Hosking. She's the instructional coach at Lincoln Elementary as well as Taylor Hicks Elementary. We are in the process of getting them on the line. Welcome, Shelley. Lisa, are you there?
Yeah. Hello.
There's Hi. Shem. Do we have Lisa, too?
Lisa.
Okay, we'll stand by as our technicians work to get Lisa Hosking on the line, but we've got Shelley Reed on the line, and Shelley is our lead for Frontier Rotary and 21st Century Summer School and Prescott Unified School District, and, of course, my co-host Marty Reed is on the line. She's also very instrumental in summer school, so we've got lots to talk about. So, Shelley, it's a very different year, and we appreciate your flexibility and, like so many people, just sort of working with what's happening. But why don't we just start off by telling our listeners how summer school is different this year?
Summer school is going to be different in a couple of ways. Of course, it will not be in person. So we will be offering summer school like we would have last year, but it will be online. But we do want to try to provide an engaging sort of format for students. So we are asking that they attend certain times during the day, and that way they can meet with teachers. And we will also be offering a student kit. It'll be kind of a package where they can have some materials and supplies that they can take home and work on while they're at home and with their teachers. And so I'm kind of looking forward to it. It will be different, but we're trying to keep it engaging and active.
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit different than the continuing learning that we've done with our regular school time, in that right now for regular school, kids can kind of move at their own pace. But Shelley, you're saying that every morning kids are going to need to be online because they'll be engaging with their teachers?
They will. And so for both schools, at both sites, we're asking that students attend from 8:30 to 11:30. They won't be on the computer, you know, for 3 hours straight. They will have some breaks and stuff, but the idea is to give them some structure and some support for the activities and the learning, and we're going to try to have some direct instruction within that time as well.
That's exciting. I'm happy that this is kind of a new format that we're going to try with summer school.
And do we have Lisa on the line yet?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Lisa. So, yeah, question to Lisa and Shelley. So Lisa Hosking, another instructional coach that helps to run summer school. So I think it's wise to have a more structured time for kids to come. I think that's going to be a break for kids. Well, and really more like a regular school session where they actually have to check in at a certain time and then be there rather than do assignments and sort of check in a more fluid way, which is really how we've had to react to distance learning over the past few weeks. So really wise of you all to do that. Just for comparison, would you, Lisa, tell our listeners what summer school is typically like so that we can kind of see the comparison of how we're doing it now during these COVID closures?
Well, what it's typically like is we have, for the first through third graders, we have about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes of direct instruction in the classroom, project-based learning, and then we go into clubs. But with online instruction, we're really going to focus on the fourth quarter skills that we're not able to get covered like we normally do. So we're going to spend some time having fun with those fourth quarter skills. And also we want to really create some clubs and some activities that will go beyond the last day of summer school, something that they can explore and play with. We're planning virtual field trips. We're looking at clubs that might allow them to design their own lands, like in a theme park, just fun things that would be interesting for them and keep their interest throughout the summer.
So, Shelley, you are the director of summer school at Granite Mountain. And what grade levels is that for?
So Granite Mountain would be for current fourth and fifth graders, and they will be in fifth and sixth grade next year. So we kind of are hitting the older students.
And Lisa, what is your program?
It is from students who are going into first through third grades next fall.
First through third or first through fourth?
I'm sorry, through fourth. Through fourth, yes.
We don't want to miss that whole grade level.
Yeah. No. We don't want to miss any fourth graders.
Well, and like so many things in Prescott, Arizona, this is a program that would not be nearly as vibrant as possible without our community support. And so I know Rotary is a big piece of that, and then also 21st Century. Shelley, would you talk a little bit about Rotary and their support, and then maybe, Lisa, you could tell us about the 21st Century piece and how that rolls in.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Lisa would talk about Rotary since her school is her summer school is funded by that.
Perfect.
And mine is not.
Yeah, so let's reverse that order for sure. Yeah, Rotary has been incredibly generous because in the last Last year, they were able to fund us so that all kids could go for free. Before, it was 21st Century Grant offered so much money to get kids to go, but the school that wasn't 21st Century Grant, the students had to pay for it. So now Rotary has stepped in and really generously funded that so all kids could go for free.
And I just want to chime in that Frontier Rotary has been sponsoring the elementary summer school since the mid-80s.
Mm.
They've been an amazing partner for us. At one time, that was the only funding we had for summer school. And now that we have 21st Century Grant monies, we've been able to expand the summer school and use both funds to really provide a robust program. And Shelley, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about what the 21st Century Grant is?
Well, the 21st Century Grant, and there are several schools that have that, but it's a way to offer after-school programs for students, including summer school. And kind of like Lisa mentioned with her program, we are able to offer some homework help and then some fun clubs. And the clubs range from a variety of things, from gardening to cooking to coding. And so it's been nice to have that to help support during summer school. And one of the things we're going to be offering for our summer school is a STEAM class. And I don't know if the listeners know, but Granite Mountain School is an accredited STEAM school. And so it's exciting that we are going to be able to offer a STEAM and science course for the students this summer.
Maybe explain to our listeners what STEAM is in case they don't know.
Okay, you're really putting me here on the spot, Marty, but I'll try to.
I'll go in and help out.
No, so STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Mathematics. And the idea is to study a topic or a subject, but also kind of think about how those other core disciplines interact with that. And so they do some hands-on learning projects, and they might be making catapults or, you know, just doing all sorts of things and bringing in science and math and design and arts. And so it's really an awesome program. The students love it. And like I said, we're able to incorporate that into our summer school program where the students will be experiencing STEAM as well.
3 minutes.
Can I add a little bit about the clubs for summer school for first through fourth graders? We are surveying them to see what kind of interests they have, and then we're designing our clubs around the interests of the students who are enrolling. So we have a great number of students who are interested in computer design and arts. So we're going to create clubs around their desires, their needs.
Wow.
Well, that's perfect for right now. And you know, I mean, it's been challenging for all of us as educators and certainly our kids and our parents at home to look at things in a whole different way and really be in a distance learning situation where things are very flexible. I think the model that you put together here, especially asking students what they're interested in and then maybe having a more structured time, I think it's going to be really good. Lisa, can you explain how best our listeners can spread the word to their friends and neighbors in terms of enrollment for summer school? How can our kids get signed up?
So there's a link that you can get through the district website. You can also get that from your children's Google Classroom pages. All teachers have posted that, but it's a direct link to the application. And again, it's all electronic, so fill out that form, and then we'll be back in touch with you right away to let you know that you're enrolled and more information to come.
And, Shelley, is that the same for Granite Mountain?
It is the same. And Teresa Brusso, who's the principal at Granite Mountain School, sent a message out to all parents of fourth and fifth graders with that information about summer school and the link. And then, again, it's also on teachers' Google Classrooms and on the Prescott Unified School District website. And if I remember right, that's due by May 15th.
Yes, May 15th.
Well, Lisa and Shelley, I just want to thank you so much for switching directions and creating an engaging summer school that's online and shifting within a moment's notice. We had lots of discussions about
could we do it in person? Should we do it online? And just based on the current restrictions, we decided to be safe and go online. And I really appreciate you guys being able to shift to that. Thanks for being on the show.
Yep, no problem.
Yep. You are listening to The Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back, everybody. Joe Howard and Marty Reed here, and you're listening to the call-in edition of The Soup Scoop today. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a good friend of ours on this segment, Mark Goligoski. He's the principal of Prescott High School. And Mark Goligoski is one of those frontline heroes. He's been a very, very busy man working to lead his incredible team of teachers and staff as they work through some tough things, particularly things like a whole senior class, the 2020 class, that's not going to have a graduation like we traditionally have had in the past. At least not when it's been normally planned. So Mark's not online yet, but he'll be with us in just a few minutes. And I've got Marty Reed on with me. But, Marty, you know, it's I've been talking about Mark being one of our frontline heroes. They've had some very tough decisions to make and some really hard plans to put together, especially in terms, I think, and the community is very sensitive to this, but in terms of our senior class, the class of 2020, who really had their senior year shortened by an entire quarter.
Mark and his crew have done an amazing job. You know, it's a little different with high school 9 through 12 in that students are earning credit, and we have all these athletics and ceremonies and graduation, and it's really been a little bit of a different ball of wax for the high school, and they have done an amazing job.
They have, Marty, and you know, I think we have Mark on the line with us now. Are you with us, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, great to hear your voice. What I want to kick off with is really, you know, Marty made a point. High school is a bit different. We, you know, there's some rigor there that we have to stick to, and but you know, I believe the community, and I can tell you from everything that I've seen, Mark, you guys have done an amazing job. You know, it's not the same, we know, when you're not together in person. But talk to our listeners a little bit about how and why Prescott High School was able to really just jump into distance learning so quickly. Seemed like you had a lot in place. And even when we said, hey, it might take a while to get up and running, I think your answer and your staff's answer was, no, we need to move on now, and we're ready to go. So can you talk about what you did and how you were able to pull that off so nicely?
Yeah, I mean, we, of course, have been really looking at a variety of different ways to use the Chromebooks that we have at our that are accessible to all our students. So we now have Chromebook carts in all of our core classrooms as well as our modern language classrooms. And so our students and our teachers have been doing a lot of different things, you know, just to really be innovative, you know, try to define ways to use that Chromebook more than just for internet research and all that. So we've been transitioning the last couple of years to using Google Classroom as a platform to provide that. And we had a lot of, we had a great variety, I would say, of experience, you know, as we moved into this. But what I was most impressed with was, you know, as soon as our teachers found out that, okay, we've got the platform, but now we need to get together, collaborate, and really utilize this to provide meaningful and engaging instruction, they all started getting together and figuring out how best to do that. And I'll say it was, you know, touch and go there probably for the first week or so. But once they started to see kids getting connected there and then started to see the different ways they could provide engaging instruction, then they really took off with that. Now we're just looking at really trying to make sure that it's refined so that students are comfortable with it as well.
Yeah, I can really vouch for that because I popped into a couple classes and it was really impressive to see the teachers using different engagement tools and instruments to engage the students. And I know the one teacher I popped into was using a program called Paradex, which is kind of like a PowerPoint, but with engagement pieces where students can answer and put their answers on the screen. And she had just learned that, and she knew right away she needed to get that going and learned it and implemented it. I'm just so proud of our teachers and how quickly they responded to this.
Right. And, I mean, and I think that was one of the, was intriguing things early on, is that a lot of folks out there that provide those types of tools for online instruction like Paradex, you know, we're providing those for free. So teachers were jumping on that right away, looking at ways that they could bring it into the classroom. We all know, as far as teaching goes, you get something new and innovative. I mean, the first time you're going to figure out if it's going to work or not is you throw it out to the students, and then that's how you learn how to refine it and so forth. So I've been a part of some of those classrooms as well, and like you said, it gives those kids an opportunity to do more than just a PowerPoint. They see information that's really easy to access, and then they get to participate in providing feedback and discussion. And, I mean, they even use, like, non-linguistic representations in their feedback. So, you know, it's very innovative. It's very engaging. I mean, it's a new way of learning. I mean, for a lot of us, we've never seen anything like it. But to be able to provide that to our students has been, you know, a blessing for sure.
Mark, one of the first concerns that I hear from community members, and, of course, we all the country is, you know, not every student has, you know, necessarily internet access or devices or that type of thing. I know that's something that you and your staff tackled early and fairly aggressively. Talk a little bit about how you've overcome some of those issues.
Right. So right now, we're looking at only about 10% of our students who have come back and maybe have had limited engagement. They are able, we really started off with trying to provide, you know, activities that were along, that they could use on their phones and so forth. But even then, that's still really difficult to do. And even without being in a classroom and having a teacher guiding you, that could be really tough. So even though the technology is there and can provide a great benefit, there's nothing that can replace that interaction between a teacher and a student. So we were super sensitive to that as well. But as far as just making sure that we are able to get things to those students, you know, we found every different way we could find to contact those kids. I mean, if they didn't have the technology, that means that they didn't necessarily have the email. And so we were calling through friends. We had folks even kind of knocking on doors, honestly, just trying to find out where these guys were. And then then the teachers turned around and put together paper packets that could be picked up at school. And so we've got a pretty nice rotation going on now where some of those students can come by, pick up their work, take it home, work on it for the week, turn it in, pick up their new packet and go from there. And I know all our schools are doing that as well. But it was a relief to see that only just a small percentage of our population needed to do that.
Well, Mark, let's talk a little bit. We touched on this earlier, but, you know, this is the last quarter for senior 2020, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of traditions and ceremonies and whatnot that we do for those kiddos. Do you want to talk a little bit about what PHS and the district has done to try to make those seniors feel special, even though we can't do everything that we normally do?
Right. Well, I mean, first time it hit us, you know, significantly was a couple weeks ago when we were supposed to have our prom. And so that was, it was tough. I mean, when that day came and passed, knowing that those kids didn't get that experience was hard on them, but it was hard on all of us, too, because we know how important those types of experiences are. You know, with us still being under stay-at-home orders, you know, we're trying to do everything that we can to celebrate each kid individually, but also recognize the whole class. You know, that's the thing that's special about graduation is we give them plenty of opportunities, you know, to be recognized as individuals for their own individual talents. But we also want to make sure that they're, you know, we're honoring the entire class as a whole. And with a long tradition that Prescott High School has had, you know, we're carrying on that tradition for our community as well. And so, you know, folks, you know, take a lot of pride in the fact that when we hold a commencement at Bill Shepherd Field at the end of each May and have been doing that for over a century, I mean, it's not just the graduates that are on the field, but it's, you know, it includes their families and folks in our community too. So we're still really trying to stay sensitive to that and making sure that we provide that opportunity when we can. Right now, it looks like our safest bet to try to do that is either that, you know, second or third Saturday in August. We're looking at a Saturday, maybe a Saturday morning, because then we can avoid the monsoons. It will be an outside graduation, so we want to try to stay away from the weather. But we also want to, you know, do it at a time when school's back in session, because one of our other great traditions is to allow that senior class at some point to march through the hallways of all the PUSD schools, and we want kids in those schools and so forth. So right now we're hoping that, you know, by early August, folks will be back in school, and we will actually be, it'll catch those kids, be seniors before they take off for college. I know we can't hit them all, but at the same time, we really hope that we can hit most of them. And we've surveyed the seniors to see what they can do and what they're available to do. Last week, we had them all on campus to pick up their caps and gowns. We also, through the generous donation of the of Sir Speedy, and Danielle over there gave out almost 300 yard signs, and so every PUSD senior has a, or you know, PHS senior has a yard sign in there, just honoring them as a graduate. We've got some banners up on campus. We've got some banners up around town honoring them, and then we're working to honor them with a grad night and that celebration that they typically have as well. I know there's some stuff going around on Facebook where folks can post some dedications to the individual graduates. And then on May 22nd, we'll release a video where folks can make folks have been making contributions to that video that they can play so they can at least have some kind of celebration at home during that night that they were supposed to graduate.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for addressing all that. I mean, you really just hit the stuff that people are maybe pining over and really wondering about. And I know everywhere you go and everywhere I go, that's the question. We don't have answers to everything right now, but I really appreciate how well you and your staff have been telling everyone everything we know to this point. So, but not to get personal, Mark, but you know I always do get personal. You got a senior in your own house, don't you?
We do. We do.
How's old Nate Goligoski doing? Send him our love and just, you know, as a real-life example, tell our listeners what it's like to have a senior in the house right now.
Yeah, it's mixed emotions, you know. I mean, it's definitely, you know, he's our youngest, too. So, and, you know, as folks that graduated, you know, there's a lot of pride that, you know, he was going to have that same opportunity, you know, that we had over 30 years ago to do the same thing on Bill Shepherd Field, and we were looking forward to that. But I'll tell you what, he just rolls with the punches. That's the kind of kid he is. He's like, yep, we'll make the most of it. Everything's good. He keeps a smile on his face and takes each day as it comes.
Well, I know we're all looking forward to seeing graduation on that beautiful new field.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's going to be quite a celebration, too. I mean, as soon as we get the green light to do it, we're going to do it.
Mark, I know we get a lot of new students to the district that come to our high school because they love our high school experience. Can you tell the listeners, for those that maybe are looking at Prescott High School for next year, how they can enroll?
Yeah, actually they can. There is an opportunity to check out our website, enroll online, and then we're currently right now going through and looking at class requests and so forth, and so our advisors right now are really buried in that, but just get on our website, get the name in there and so forth, and then as we get through this first cycle of getting through all those requests, then we will also place those new enrollments. And I know folks are always concerned that will they still have the same opportunities as everybody else. And right now they will. We have not denied anybody a class or an opportunity because classes are full. It's just really more of a timing. So come to PUSD, come to PHS, we'll get you in your classes. There's no problem with that. We have lots of options, and they're available to everybody.
Well, Mark Goligoski, we we thank you so much for your dedication and your leadership. You're a true servant leader. And if there's ever been a time to listen to the needs of the folks, it's now. And you've been doing such a great job. So we just want to thank you for that. And to our listeners, when we return from the break, Southwest Food Service Director Amy Siegler will be with us to talk about how PUSD is providing meal service Monday through Friday for all children in our community. 1,500 meals per day is about what we're averaging. So please stay with us to talk to Amy in a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Thank you, Joe, for that. I appreciate it. My staff works really hard to be on the front lines and serving our kids during this this time that we've been doing. We've been doing this since we got back from spring break, so the middle of March. And we will continue to serve the kids until the COVID emergency feeding, until it's lifted. We'll be here serving the kids. We can do that currently. We're doing it Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have two drive-through locations. One is at Lincoln Elementary, and the other one is at Prescott High School. We also have a mobile ordering unit that we have available at our Food and Nutrition Center. So if people want to plan ahead and come and pick meals up at our Food and Nutrition Center, they can do that.
Amy, tell us about some of the precautions or guidelines that you have to follow to provide these meals.
We, of course, have to, because we're food service, there's already strict guidelines that we have in place that we normally have to do with our food preparations. We have to, of course, wash our hands frequently, so we're already doing that. So we're just doing a little bit of extra with that. We're also taking temperatures as we, as our staff comes in to make sure that nobody has a fever. We're wearing face masks as we're serving the public, and we're taking every precaution we can from a food service perspective, as well as, you know, the recommendations from the CDC and the health department for the COVID-19 safety precautions that they have in place.
So, Amy, what types of meals have our community members been experiencing, and what can they expect if they come through our drive-thru?
So we've had to get a little bit creative with some of our meals. We started out, of course, with some of the normal stuff that the kids are eating, sack lunch style stuff with peanut butter and jelly and turkey sandwiches and stuff like that. But because with some of the shortages that we've had, from a food service perspective, we've had some of those shortages that the public has had as well. So we've had to get a little creative, and we've done some kits. We have on the menu on Friday, we have a chicken burrito meal kit that kids can actually take home and put together themselves and heat up in the microwave or in the oven or something like that. That they can do. So it's sort of, we've tried to throw some educational parts in with our food service perspective so that they can also do some of their own cooking and preparation at home as well.
And Amy, I can't remember if we already said this, about how many meals per day are you preparing and serving?
We serve anywhere between 1,200 and 1,400 meals per day. It has, since the weather's gotten nice, it has dropped a little bit. We're doing kind of in between that 12 and 1,400, but we're averaging about 1,200 a day.
Is that typical when the weather gets nice that less meals are requested?
Yes, normally during our normal school year, we'll see a drop in participation during the last month of school, so it's pretty typical for us to see this.
So, Amy, what I'd like to share, have you share with the listeners a little bit is funding on this. Obviously, this is not something that we could do on our own, and we're very grateful to the fact federal government and the state of Arizona for really stepping up and shifting to what we call summer feeding. Can you explain a little bit about how that works and where the funding comes from so we can put an extra thanks out there to the government that's helping us?
So we have had a lot of community outreach from people wanting to know what they can do to help. I've sent some folks through to the foundation who want to make cash donations, so that's been a big help for the foundation. We also have, specifically, we have Fry's, who has donated bags. We've had a shortage of bags that we've been able to get. So Fry's has stepped up, and they've donated bags. Staples has also helped us and donated bags so that we can put the meals in the bags and give them out to the public. I've had a lot of people just call and want to support and help us as much as they can. Something I like about Prescott is our community outreach is awesome, and the community has been there whenever we've needed anything. So it's been really great.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how Prescott community steps up. We certainly couldn't do this without them. Amy, can you also touch a little bit upon the government piece and how that works in terms of the feds working with Title I and with our state government in terms of making sure that we're able to be reimbursed for some of these summer meals?
Yeah, so so it's summer feeding. We get summer feeding reimbursement through the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we get the normal reimbursements that we would normally get as we were doing summer feeding. And that's through the ADE and the USDA. Of course, there's been different things that have come out with DES to help support our homeless population and our SNAP population and everything to make sure that families are being fed. So we do get that funds available through both the state and federal government with being able to provide the meals to the students like we do during a normal school year.
So, Amy, we really appreciate what you and your staff have done to step up and start serving the community. The beautiful thing about this as well is that this is for any child 18 and under. They don't have to be part of TUSD. So that's been an amazing gift to our community. Thank you for everything you've done.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we're going to wrap up with Amy right now. We have heard from many families that driving through to pick up the breakfast and lunch and seeing those familiar and friendly faces has become a highlight in their day. And when we return from the break, Joe and I will be talking about the wrap-up of another school year at Prescott Unified. Despite the challenges of the past couple months, our PUSD schools have proved again that our amazing staff and teachers and supportive community are ready and will continue to serve every child, every day, everywhere. Stay with us. You are listening to The Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 1130 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
You're listening to Talk of the Town Soup Scoop. Now listen up, because class is back in session.
Welcome back to the Soup Scoop on KQNA Talk of the Town. I'm Joe Howard calling in from my home here with Marty Reed, who's calling in from her home down the street. And, boy, it's been a strange couple of months for sure, but there, like for everyone, there have been some silver linings in that for sure. And, you know, Marty, I wanted to just mention our PUSD Education Foundation, who is always thinking of ways to help and support. There's been a tough time for them, too. Many of their events where they raised funds were canceled, and they've lost well over $50,000 just in those events. But they did do a situation a couple weeks ago where their Rising Stars event, where they recognized a handful of incredible students, and then those students choose a teacher who has most affected their lives. We usually have a beautiful evening celebration for them, but instead this year we did a traffic parade, a car parade, and we went around and put road signs in each of those teachers and each of those students' houses, and it was a really a beautiful moment. So that's just one of the highlights of how people have capitalized on this. Marty, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about where we're at with enrollment and how we're looking into the next year?
Sure. We are taking new enrollment. So if you have friends and family who are interested in joining the PUSD family, enrollment forms are online, and we still have flock enrollments going really well. We feel like next year will be a great year. We do have some slots available, so if folks want to get online and enroll, that's a great idea. We are getting ready for school next year. We're thinking about how we can have in-person school and make sure we're safe. We've been communicating a lot with our nurses and the health department to talk about what would be the guidelines and protocols that we would use to make sure that everyone is safe. We will be looking for direction from the state on that in the future as well, to get some guidance on, what is the best way to bring kiddos back into our buildings. We can hardly wait. We miss all those smiling faces. We
do.
We can hardly wait to get them back in our schools.
Absolutely. So thank you, Marty, and folks, thanks for listening today. Today's Soup Scoop was brought to you again from our home, as we called in to talk to our listeners from our living room. Safety is always our number one priority in PUSD, and during these times, we've been listening to the experts and abiding with the recommended guidelines, as many of you have, hopefully all of you, doing our part to slow the spread of COVID-19 virus and to keep our students, staff, and community healthy. You all know public schools in Arizona are closed for the remainder of the school year, but that did not stop our PUSD spirit or school pride. Our teachers pivoted to a distance learning model and continue to be available to their students through phone calls, videos, chats, social media, and virtual classrooms. We're planning for fun and engaging summer school classes, as you heard earlier today, and we'll be ready when school starts again in the fall. We're celebrating our PHS class of 2020 in creative ways, and we'll continue to celebrate all of our students' achievements and successes. We're providing meals to all of our children in the community for as long as needed.
Please visit our website at PrescottSchools.com for more details about how to register for summer school and to enroll for the upcoming 2020-2021 school year. We look forward to the fall when students are back in our classrooms and we can see their smiling faces again. Please join us again on the Soup Scoop next month on June 3rd, 2020 at 4 p.m. You have been listening to the Soup Scoop on Talk of the Town, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 and 95.5 FM, streaming worldwide at kqna.com.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, Cottonwood Area Transit, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employers, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 11:30 a.m. and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.